Since we last met in the same body, the world economy has continued to deteriorate. The World Bank estimates that world economic growth will decline this year by 1.7%. OECD estimates a decline by 2.7%. We at the WTO have forecasted that world trade will contract by 9% in volume, and there are indeed many other indicators painting a gloomy picture. We are indeed in the midst of very stormy waters, and the waves that are hitting our global economic vessel are unprecedented. Unfortunately, we cannot yet see when and how this global ship will finally be able to reach a safer shore. 2 weeks ago, the G20 decided to steer a common course towards a safer harbor, and part of this common path is called, and I quote, avoid protectionism and national isolationism. This is a global crisis which requires a global solution. What we're seeing, as expected, is that no economy in the world is immune to the impact of the current turmoil. We must therefore not forget that developing countries, which are far from the world's financial centers, will also suffer from the repercussions of this crisis, and that most of them do not have the financial means to assist their people. As you know, I participated in the G20 meeting in London, and I can tell you that the leaders of the world's largest economies are all, with no exception, aware of this situation and fully understand the potential repercussions for the entire world. I welcome the G20 consensus to avoid protectionism, to support global trade flows with assistance to finance trade, the commitment to provide $250 billion for trade finance demonstrates the capacity of the international community to address urgent global needs by helping to restore trade as an engine of growth. The G20 also reaffirmed its commitment on aid for trade, which is a vital complement to our trade opening agenda. Now, it's not my intention to repeat what is already explained in the report. I would rather prefer to hear your views about it. However, let me just highlight its main thrust. As I said earlier, the economic crisis has continued to worsen around the world, and there has been an increase in protectionist pressures globally since September 2008, driven by demands to protect domestic jobs and businesses. And in such circumstances, a large premium must be attached to avoiding policies that restrict trade. The monitoring exercise carried out by the Secretariat shows that there is no indication of an imminent descent into high-intensity protectionism involving widespread resort to trade restriction and retaliation. The multilateral trade rules under the WTO continue to provide a strong defense and a unique insurance policy against that happening. We should nevertheless remain vigilant and avoid nationalistic responses to the crisis, which will just then shift problems to neighbors and risk them bouncing back. Experience has shown that protectionism does not protect. On the contrary, the danger today is of an incremental build-up of restrictions that could only slowly strangle trade and undercut the effectiveness of policies to boost world demand and restore sustained growth globally. The report indeed illustrates some recent slippages. The main risk is that governments would continue to give way to protectionist pressures, even if only gradually and temporarily, as long as the global economic situation continues to deteriorate. This would affect all countries, but developing countries reliant on export to drive growth would be hardest hit should governments move to restrict trade as a way of surviving this global crisis. So WTO members should reiterate their strong call to resist protectionism around the world, and the G20 leaders did that in their commitment both to resist protectionism and to reaching an ambitious and balanced conclusion to the DDA. And indeed, the best contribution to reviving economic growth around the world is to conclude the DDA as one of the most appropriate collective stimulus packages. An ambitious conclusion to the DDA, which is needed now, in my view, more than ever, could result in tariff cuts of at least $150 billion per annum, which would directly benefit the consumers. And as I have said many times, completing the DDA is also the surest way we have of safeguarding our individual trade interest and the multilateral trading system against the threat of an outbreak of protectionism. Now, if I may go back to my report to the TPRB, when we last met on February 9th, many of you raised a very pertinent point and made useful comments on how best to improve the quality of my report. I have taken good note of all your concerns and reflected upon the sound advice given to the Secretariat by many people, including the outgoing and incoming chair of the TPRB and also the chairman of the General Council. I'm reasonably satisfied that this second report, which was made available to all members and observers on March 26th, provides answers to the questions and concerns raised during our last meeting. The coverage of trade and trade-related measures is much wider, and the accuracy in reporting them has significantly been enhanced. The report may contain still some gaps and some fine-tuning may be required. Our objective is and remain to further enhance its quality, for which we count very much on the active participation and help of all delegations. It's only through your contribution that we can ensure that the report is correct and up-to-date. And indeed, since the issuance of this report, some delegations have approached the Secretariat to provide further clarifications on the reported measures, and these new elements will be reflected in subsequent reports. So overall, I'm happy with these many contributions from several delegations to the monitoring exercise. On February 18th, I sent out a fax to all members and to observer governments inviting delegations to inform the Secretariat of any trade or trade-related measures undertaken since September 08. 24 delegations replied to this fact. This is very encouraging, but still well below the total number of countries and economies involved. I don't think I need to name those countries, but their contribution is recognized. Now, based on this information and also using other relevant public and official sources, we compiled a list of trade and trade-related measures without making any judgment on their trade impact or their legality with members' commitment at the WTO. And in a second attempt to ensure the accuracy of the compilation of information, the Secretariat sent to all concerned delegations their respective listing for verification. More than 85% of the delegations replied to this request, which is indeed very encouraging. And I take the active participation of so many delegations as a recognition of the high importance attached to this transparency exercise, and I want to thank you for that. Now, I look forward to hearing the views of members and observers on how best to continue to consolidate this exercise for the benefit of the entire membership. I'm encouraged to hear from the statement just made by Ambassador Major that good progress has been made across the board by WTO councils and committees to review existing notification and transparency provisions, and that improvements are also being considered in this area. Finally, in the interest of transparency and following our practice with TPR reports, my report to you will be placed on our website after we've had an opportunity to discuss it at this meeting. This concludes my initial report, Mr. Chairman.